Welcome to another deep dive. I'm your host.
And I am your expert. Really excited to be here for this one.
Yeah, we have a really fascinating mission today. We are unpacking a radical new framework for understanding exactly how cancer forms in the biliary system.
Right, it is a total paradigm shift.
It really is. Our sources for this deep dive are a conceptual summary document paired with a deeply detailed, time-stamped biological sequence transcript. But before we get into the weeds, we have to establish the core
The
principle.
foundation of all of this, yeah.
Exactly. The cure is in the cause. Cholangiocarcinoma is driven by a system failure we can map upstream. The biliary system is the body's plumbing system. It carries a fluid called bile from the liver through small pipes into the intestine. That fluid has two jobs. It removes waste from the liver, and it shapes fats from the food we eat so they can carry essential nutrients into the cells that keep the body working.
When the fluid is balanced and flowing, everything works. But when it changes, it can go two ways. It can become thick and slow, building pressure and scraping the pipes, or it can become sharp and aggressive, irritating the lining like a detergent. Different problem, same result. Damage to the lining of the pipes.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're talking about plumbing, essentially. But how does a simple plumbing issue actually morph into a tumor?
Well, to understand that, we really have to look at what the sources call the trigger event. And honestly, this part completely flips the traditional medical scripts right on its head.
Oh, really? How so?
Because it challenges the foundational assumption about why bile stops flowing properly in the first place. You know, in traditional medical circles, the accepted logic is that if you have slow-moving bile, it is because there's a physical blockage somewhere in the duct.
Right, like the classic tree falling across a river.
Exactly.
You assume the physical blockage is what causes the water to slow down and back up.
Right, but this new framework reframes that entire sequence. It argues that the composition of the bile changes first.
Wait, the composition.
Yeah, and that chemical change inherently causes the slow flow. So the old sequence was blockage, which leads to slow flow, but the new sequence is composition, which leads to flow, which leads to injury, and then ultimately structure.
Wait, chicken or egg? Are we saying the bile itself gets so viscous it becomes its own traffic jam without any physical roadblock?
That is precisely what we are saying. I mean, bile isn't just water. It is a complex chemical cocktail.
Right.
When its composition shifts, specifically when it becomes heavy with excess cholesterol, it often lacks an essential protective component called phosphatidylcholine.
Let me stop you there. Wait, what exactly is that doing in the fluid?
Think of it as a biological soap. It is a lipid that helps keep cholesterol dissolved in the bile so it stays liquid.
Oh, wow.
So
Okay.
without that protection and burdened by all that extra cholesterol, the cholesterol literally starts to crystallize. The bile becomes incredibly thick and sludgy.
And because it's thick, it just doesn't move.
Right. The physical weight and viscosity mean it moves at an absolute crawl.
And if it is moving at a crawl, it is just lingering inside the pipes.
Yes, which drastically increases the amount of time this toxic, crystallized sludge rests directly against the epithelial cells that line the ducts.
That sounds incredibly damaging.
It is. It creates immense pressure, particularly at anatomical bottlenecks like the hilum.
Which is what exactly?
It is a major junction where bile exits the liver. The cells at that junction are basically being subjected to a slow, abrasive scraping day in and day out.
Okay, so that thick bile explains one type of injury, the mechanical scraping.
Right, mode one.
But the intra-mentioned bile could also become sharp and aggressive. How does that work?
That brings us to mode two, the second extreme injury mode. If mode one is the thick, abrasive sludge, mode two is thin bile.
So it is like forgetting the flour in a cake mix. It flows differently, but it's dangerously acidic.
That is a perfect way to put it. It isn't scraping, it is burning. When this highly acidic, chemically unstable bile washes over the duct lining, it acts like a harsh detergent.
And the cells just take that.
Well, no. The cells lining the duct, the cholangiocytes, they actually try to fight back. When they sense this toxic fluid, they attempt to secrete water and bicarbonate to dilute the acid.
Like a built-in sprinkler system trying to put out a chemical fire.
Exactly like that. But they just fail. The chemical imbalance is way too overwhelming. The acidic bile physically strips away the cell membrane's protective lipid layer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it causes these chronic, unyielding chemical burns.
But wait, if is thin, shouldn't it at least flow faster and get out of the system? Why would it linger long enough to cause a chronic burn?
That is a great question, because flow isn't just determined by the thickness of the fluid. It is also dictated by the mechanical triggers that move it along.
Okay, triggers like what?
Well, even thin bile can stagnate if the biological pumps and gates aren't being signaled to open. And when acidic detergent-like bile stagnates, you don't need mechanical scraping to cause catastrophic injury.
You were just sitting in acid.
Right. You are subjecting the cells to a constant chemical bath.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because you have to ask, what is causing the bile composition to shift to these toxic extremes in the first place?
This is where we have to look at lifestyle.
Right, the cholesterol paradox. The sources dive into this massive contradiction involving diet and, you know, the very things we associate with being healthy.
The transcript details a very specific scenario. Think about a 35-year-old athlete, someone who tracks every macro, who eats an extreme low-fat, low-cholesterol diet, or even someone strictly managing their cholesterol through daily statins.
People who are doing everything right for their heart.
On paper, sure. But the biological reality is that the liver actually needs cholesterol. It is a fundamental building block for cells, and it is absolutely required to create balanced bile.
Right.
So if you are eating a diet entirely devoid of fat and cholesterol, your liver doesn't just give up. It goes into survival mode.
It makes its own.
Exactly. It is forced to continuously synthesize its own cholesterol to make up for the deficit.
So by relentlessly starving your body of fat, you accidentally force your liver into a sweatshop scenario, mass-producing the very thing you're avoiding.
Yes, and that relentless overproduction puts immense metabolic stress on the liver. The liver cells, the hepatocytes, they start to accumulate fat because they're working overtime.
Which leads to fatty liver.
Even if you look perfectly healthy on the outside. And those malfunctioning cells then dump toxic, imbalanced bile into the ducts.
Okay, but going back to what you said a minute ago about the gates and the flow, if you aren't eating any fat, what happens to the signaling?
That is the crucial missing link. Dietary fat is what triggers the release of a hormone called CCK.
CCK.
Right. CCK is essentially the biological key. It travels to the sphincter of Oddi, which is the exit gate at the bottom of the biliary system, and tells it to open up.
Oh, wow. Let me make sure I'm getting this. No fat means no CCK.
Precisely. No CCK means the key is never turned and the exit gate stays permanently closed.
That is wild. So you have the stressed liver pumping out either thick sludge or thin bleach, and the exit door is locked. The toxic bile just backs up.
Constantly burning the hilum and backing up into the gallbladder, yeah.
You do this to protect your heart, but you are inadvertently destroying your biliary system.
It is a perfect storm of stagnation and toxicity.
So we now have a toxic, stagnant environment constantly injuring the cells, but how does that actually cross the line into cancer?
Right, because normally when a cell is injured, the immune system repairs it or forces it into apoptosis.
Cell suicide?
Exactly. It forces the damaged cell to dismantle itself so it can't divide.
So what goes wrong here?
The injury frequency simply outpaces the repair window. It is continuous, 24/7.
Mm.
The immune system basically gets exhausted by the sheer volume of damage.
The sources say cancer forms over time. But isn't over time a bit of a medical cop-out? Are we talking decades, or can this happen in weeks?
It is absolutely a cop-out. The tipping point is simply when that repair fails.
Yeah.
And that window varies drastically.
Like if someone loses their gallbladder.
Exactly. If a gallbladder is removed, flow dynamics alter instantly. Patients can develop bile duct strictures in mere months, not decades.
Because without the reservoir, the drip of toxic bile is completely unmitigated.
Yes. And once that tipping point is reached, the abnormal cells persist and multiply.
And the sources detail the tumor itself, cholangiocarcinoma, as a cold tumor with high heterogeneity.
Right. It isn't driven by one single massive mutation.
So it is kind of like being attacked by an ant colony or a pack of wild dogs rather than a single lion. It's a slow accumulation of diverse mutations, like driving a Mini, unlike DMMR tumors that mutate rapidly like a Ferrari.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it.
And once it reaches that tipping point, it just takes over.
The abnormal cells literally squeeze out the healthy tissue. And worse, they use anaerobic metabolism to survive without oxygen.
By fermenting glucose, right.
Exactly. And the byproduct is lactic acid. They pump this out to create a harsh chemical moat around the tumor.
Which protects it from the immune system.
Completely paralyzes the immune cells.
Wow. Bringing these deep biological mechanisms back to reality really changes how you look at the patient experience. Just a bit of housekeeping for you listening if you want to go deeper. The summary PDFs are attached in the show notes.
I highly recommend reading through them.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you with a provocative thought. If our modern obsession with ultra-low-fat diets and hyper-optimization is inadvertently starving our biliary system of the very hormonal triggers it needs to flush out waste? Are we unknowingly trading cardiovascular peace of mind for a silent epidemic of biliary collapse?
Cholangiocarcinoma is usually detected at the tumor stage when options are already reduced. A breakdown in bile composition and flow creates repeated injury to the bile duct lining until repair fails and abnormal cells persist. Identify and monitor this breakdown earlier, then intervene before the tipping point so patients can act while options remain open.
Most patients don't lose survival options because of cancer alone. They lose them because understanding comes too late. That shouldn't happen.
Don't wait for the tumor. Track the system that creates it.
This framework was developed by Steve Holmes, founder of Cholangio.org and the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation Australia.